Welcome to another Q&A episode, guys. The last Q&A episode we did was very popular, and I decided to do more of those. Looks like you guys like these, okay? So before we jump into these, if you guys have any questions regarding software engineering in general and GIS, feel free to tweet me and hit me up on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Anchor. And leave your voice note there with your question, and you might be featured in this next episode of Q&A. All right, guys, with that said, let's just jump into the show. What's up, y'all? This is your host, Hussein Nasser from iGeometry, where we discuss software engineering and GIS by example. Today's question is from Anthony. Anthony says, how do you know when to focus on building a geodatabase, let's say SQL Server database, rather than just let the data sit in shapefiles? And I think this is a very good question, because it comes back to what you're trying to do, really. What's your use case, right? So with having a shapefile versus geodatabase is really depends on what is your use case. What are you trying to build? Okay, and I'd like to turn this episode as a set of questions, right? So the first question is, okay, how big is your data? That's the first question you have to ask, right? And the larger your data, right? And I'm talking gigs of data, right? Then it won't be scalable to be read by shapefiles. Shapefiles were not designed to hold more than 2 GB of data per class or per table, right? The reason is that's the limit. That's the limit of every single component in shapefile is 2 GB. Okay, so if you're planning to have more than 2 GB worth of data, right, then shapefiles won't work for you. If your data is in the 100Ks or 10Ks and you're happy with it, then shapefile works. Okay, so geodatabase, if you move to that, you have more and more and more capacity based on the underlying database engine that you're using. Okay. You don't really worry about space when you go there to a geodatabase, because that's the first question, right? So the second thing is your data, are you sharing it with people, right? Is it, and the answer of this is almost yes, right? Because you don't write data for yourself. You usually author data for someone else, okay? And sharing shape files is not a big problem, if you think about it. It's just like this discontinuing, right? Because there is a disconnect between sharing in this case. Sharing, although sharing in itself, it's easy, because zip that thing up, send it via email, you're done. Zip that thing in, upload it to Dropbox, you're done. Zip this thing up, upload it to Google Drive, and you're done. All right? It's very easy to share files, right? It's just like people download and consume it. Shapefiles are also great because it is an open standard and it's like a CSV, right? So a lot of clients know how to read it, right? A lot of software almost by default work with shapefiles. That's why, because it's open, okay? So you work with that, okay? So however, sharing a shapefile, since it's this has disconnect, you edit your data, your truth source, your gold data, and people will continue to work with the older version, okay? So you'll have to have some sort of a method of distribution of the new data, okay? And some people find this a problem, right? Some people say, hey, it's okay. I'm going to version my data, and I'm going to send up versions each quarter or whatever. I'm going to send people shape files. And another thing about shapefiles is, if you're okay with the schema, the shapefiles, there are certain limitations that are annoying. Like shapefiles have to be they have to be, each column has to be like 8 characters in length, okay, which kind of, to me, it's very annoying, right? So you can't have more than 8 characters. So especially if you're moving data from a certain data to a shape file, you're going to truncate your schema, right? If you have a field called measured pipe length, that's more than 8 characters, right? It's going to be truncated to measured underscore. Yeah, so that's a little annoying, right? So if you're okay with that, continue using shapefile. GeoDatabase, on the other hand, if you want to experience the advanced concept of geodatabases, like domains, like contingent values, like attribute rules, like subtypes, like versioning, right? We're going to talk about this. Archiving. You don't get this with shapefiles, right? You don't get this with file geodatabase, even though it's a geodatabase. You get it with multi-user geodatabases, which is the enterprise relational model, okay? So versioning is a cool concept where you put your data in this geodatabase's multi-user geodatabase, and you start editing it, right? And everybody have the latest stuff. They see the latest and greatest immediately because they connect that and they see it immediately. Just wrap that up into a feature service, share, you get sharing for free, okay? Quote unquote for free. But ArcGIS Online, same thing, right? You copy your data and then you upload it there, it becomes a geodatabase at the back end. And you essentially can share it much, much easier, right? Simpler than just emailing a shapefile, right? If you edit that single source of truth, everybody gets the latest and greatest, right? So it becomes like better at that. So obviously, geodatabase is great in this aspect, but you comes with an additional maintenance, right? Maintenance cost where you have this database and you have to maintain it. You have to have this server always running, right? You don't have this problem with the shapefile. Shapefile is just a static data sitting there. It's just storage, right? But with the geodatabase, you have to have this database running all the time, right? Make sure it's always live and active, so ready for to receive edits, right? Another cool thing about editing, speaking of editing with multi-user geodatabases, is if you can even create your own view of the data. I create a version if you enable versioning, and then you start editing your version. Nobody sees this changes except you. And then you decide to post it, you resolve conflicts and do all this cool stuff, right, with versioning. Archiving, you get that. Every single edit is archived. So if you delete something, you don't really lose it forever. It's just, it says that John has deleted this tree, right, on this date, right? There is a track, there's a paper trail. Okay, so that's essentially, in my opinion, the difference between shapefiles and it comes back and geodatabases, and it really up to you what you're trying to do, right? And you can essentially keep the same schema with shapefile and literally copy it to a geodatabase and maintain it that way if you're comfortable with the schema. You don't have to change your schema to fit it in a geodatabase, right? That's you can optimize it. I know a lot of people like to normalize stuff. I personally don't like to normalize tables, like, you know, the normalization first and third and seventh normal mode where you break down things into tables and tables. I think this is the old thinking where they need to save storage. We don't have a problem with storage anymore. This is not 1976, right? We are 2019, we don't care about storage, it's very cheap. Duplicate rows as much as possible, it's okay. If you have columns with duplicate data, that's all right, right? Because like if it's cheaper, then keep it duplicated because you need faster access, right? Normalizing, that means you need to do a joining, and joining is essentially not a good idea, right? All right, guys, I think that's all for us today. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, guys, if you have any more questions or if you have questions about this episode or the previous episode, hit me up, and I will be glad to answer your questions in the next episode. All right, guys, I'd like to take your opinion about this podcast. If you are really enjoying it, if you're really enjoying this podcast, just send me any comments and your suggestion and your feedback. Really appreciate it to keep building up this community and this podcast to continue growing to the better direction. Guys, with that said, guys, love you so much. You guys stay awesome. I'm gonna see you in the next one. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.